At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid, June 17, 2021. Just when you thought you knew which way the NBA playoffs were headed, then today you wake up this morning and you're not so sure. Craig Midge, Davis Maddock with you here on the show. We have a lot to get to here on the program, Davis. And look, it's very rare to have two dogs like last night just come out and look like the better teams. But that's definitely where we were at. And I would say that both results were surprising, not to the degree that a team would cover the spread, but to outright win. And congrats to those two teams yesterday in Atlanta and the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Clippers result was pretty much the most surprising result of the postseason thus far. You know, I think that of all the individual games, I mean, maybe the Celtics taking a game off the Nets was slightly more surprising. I think everyone expected that to be 4-0. But that immediate victory from the the Clippers. I mean, like, I guess, you know, Paul George, I guess we got to stop making fun of him. 37, 16, and 5. Unbelievable from Paul George. But you know what? I think I disagree with one thing you said. I don't think the Hawks look like the better team. I think the 76ers are just total basket cases. I think that whole team is just so in their head, so neurotic about losing. But I do feel like they are the best team.
Well, we're going to find out real soon, no doubt. Here are our headlines here on the show on this Thursday. The Hawks, down in the first half, rallied very big in the second half. We'll hear from Trae Young as they take game six. No Kawhi Leonard, maybe no Kawhi Leonard the rest of the way for the Clippers. It didn't matter, at least yesterday, as they take out the Jazz in game six as we're going to a final game. Jacob DeGrom yesterday, we talked about on the show, unfortunately, did leave his start early with right shoulder soreness. Struck out 8 of 9 guys. He's just amazing. He's batting .400, but the reality is that the Mets have to get this figured out. You can't have a guy go less than 5 innings every start. Montreal game 2 is a winner against the Vegas Golden Knights. That series is tied at 2. I have a feeling some really good playoff hockey is on deck for us as well. But one of the big stories last night has been the ice in the veins of Trae Young. Yet again, he carries his team in the second half to a win. He's been one of the best playoff stories thus far. And after the game last night, he talked about that second half rally that put the Hawks in a good position.
It's not very difficult when you know the weapons you have on this team. We know we got a lot of guys who can make shots and can make threes, and can really get our offense going. We can put up a lot of points really quick. And I think early on we were missing a lot of open shots, and it was one of those first halves again. And hopefully we shoot a lot better at home than we did tonight in the last game. But I think we always have a belief that we're in the game.
Well, the Hawks definitely have done their part, Davis, to get to this point. I would tell you that the most exciting thing in sports, of course, are those two words of Game 7. I would also tell you the toughest thing to bet in sports is Game 7, just because the unpredictability as to what can happen when athletes are under that amount of pressure. Any feeling as we approach this? I know the games are not tonight, but any feeling on these games as we head toward the end of both series?
I think the Jazz are pretty likely to pull this series out. I think the Clippers got that, you know, that one game boost, right? You're feeling emotional. You're like, you know, no one believes in us. You come out and you give absolutely everything you have. I don't know if Paul George could possibly play any better. I think the Clippers made a huge change, though, introducing Terrence Mann into the starting lineup. This is something that a lot of people have been begging the Clippers to do this entire postseason run, is play Terrence Mann more, play Ivaka Zubac and Rajon Rondo way less. That's what ended up happening. You know, 20 minutes for Luke Kennard off the bench, he was fine. I think in the end, the 76ers do end up winning that series, though. I know they're down 3-2. I know it doesn't look good, but I cannot believe that Joel Embiid would be this impressive of a player in the regular season and crumble like this, you know. But I've been on the 76ers side here. But I mean, Trae Young has been so impressive. Like, no matter what the score has been, Trae Young is just like, look, we're gonna do what we got to do. We're gonna run our offense. We're gonna play our defense, and we're gonna get to where we want to go.
Yeah, and I think that with a series win, you know, Trae Young already looks like a superstar in the NBA, but I think he stamps it home with a win here. I mean, it's just undeniable. He becomes one of the top, 10 players in the NBA after this, if not that. Real quick here, Madden 2022, which I don't play, but who knows? My son, maybe he'll move over from baseball to football. I have no clue. Davis, the cover is out, so naturally everyone gets very worried that one of the people on the cover are going to be out for the year. It's pretty much the way it works.
Yeah, I mean, the Madden curse hasn't been a thing in quite some time. You know, Mahomes was on the cover the year that the year that they won the Super Bowl and things like that. I guess Juju Smith-Schuster, the most recent athlete to be on the cover and then see a big downturn in his performance. But, you know, the Madden curse was always the same thing as the curse of being in the home run derby, of like, oh, it messes up your swing. But it's, you know, it's just natural regression, is guys have their career season and then they go back to normal after that. So I'm not that worried about it. Cool cover to see Mahomes and Brady on the cover together. I thought that was a cool idea from them.
Do you play Madden as much as you play MLB The Show? More or less, same?
Less, because their Ultimate Team version is not as fun and you have to spend more actual money to get the good players. So I play it, but it not as much at all.
Okay. Well, I don't think I will. I'll continue on MLB The Show. My son has been, as he calls it, grinding to upgrade his top pitcher, Ferguson Jenkins. He's got him up to like a 99. Had a great week there. What about the NBA game tonight? We'll touch on it next. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One game in the NBA playoff changed tonight, and it should be a pretty good one because when you get to Game 6 and Game 7, that's when the pressure gets fun. Next week, we'll be focused on the Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals in the NBA and, of course, the NHL. But this is the one tonight that I think could determine the fate of the Milwaukee Bucks. I guess that's pretty obvious if you look at the line here, as Milwaukee's at home, and they are 5.5-point favorites on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Now, the injuries are definitely a question for Brooklyn tonight. Kyrie Irving looks like he is out. James Harden looks like he is in. The total is 220.5, as the Nets took the series lead 3-2 the other night, basically on the shooting and ability of Kevin Durant and almost no one else. Let's be honest, Durant had one of the best games in the history of the NBA playoffs in a Game 5 situation. So they go into Game 6 tonight. The Bucks are pretty big favorites, and their head coach Mike Budenholzer says despite that and despite being down a game, they are not a desperate team.
I just don't think in terms of desperation. You know, we came in, we watched the film, areas where we can get better, you know, things that we can do better. So everybody understands, you know, it's 3-2, it's Game 6 at home. Our guys have responded always. You know, I think the character, those types of things are the words that, you know, come to mind. But it's we got to find a way to play well, both ends of the court, and play the right way, have the right mindset, right mentality, go out and compete, lay it on the line. But really, you do that from the first game of a series to the end. But you know, I get it. It's Game 6. We're down 3-2.
Yeah, and I think that the coach said it best there, that you know, trying to spin it in the right direction. They know it's must win. They know that this is it. They're pretty big favorites tonight, Davis, to be honest with you. If you look at it, it's sort of telling you that Milwaukee is going to get to at least a Game 7 here. But you have been the whisperer on Kevin Durant, so I'm going to have to just lean on you here and ask you point blank, which is the right side tonight? And is the right side necessarily the money line winning side as well? If you chose to take Brooklyn, who do you like?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I like Brooklyn. You know, I've been on Kevin Durant the entire time. I think he is probably the best player in the NBA right now. I mean, you know, it's going to be close between him and LeBron James. So, like, who is the actual best player in the NBA right now? I think James Harden being back, you know, pretty clearly a big deal for them. Even if he's not scoring, I think he gives them. Something I was not prepared for was he was excellent in the post against Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton. Like, he was phenomenal defensively in that game. And even if Harden is not scoring, he's going to be creating open looks, you know, getting into the paint, driving, creating open looks for Bruce Brown and Jeff Green and Kevin Durant. He did a good job of that in Game 1. And even again, if Harden's playing bad, you know, you still have to pay attention to him. The defense is still going to be thinking about James Harden in the back of their head. I also saw this point made by a couple different people on Twitter. You know, people are saying, well, you know, they've had PJ Tucker defending Kevin Durant in these games, and there's this call for Giannis to defend him, right? Giannis, 6'11", giant dude. Like, come on, why is Giannis not guarding him? And the problem is Giannis is not mobile enough laterally, right? He's a gigantic man. It's just too hard for him to react and to respond to someone like Kevin Durant or James Harden's movements. And then it ends up with, oh, you know, your amazing defensive player is just getting blown by on the perimeter. So I think that this solution that people have been wanting Mike Budenholzer to do, they're like, oh my gosh, Kevin Durant is torching you. Put Giannis on him. I don't think that's the answer. I think Kevin Durant is a Rubik's Cube. I think he is an unsolvable problem for the Milwaukee Bucks. So I'm on the Nets and the points. I would probably lean over on the total as well. I think a high scoring game favors the Brooklyn Nets. And I mean, Harden, like, let's be honest, Harden played bad in Game 5. If Harden is feeling healthier, if he's feeling better, if he's shooting well in this game, I think the Nets have this. I think they're going to wrap it up tonight.
So money line also, in addition to the spread.
Yeah. I think you got to be on the money line and the spread.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And so if this does end for Milwaukee, and I know that the guys on TNT, they sort of rip everybody. So I don't know how to take Charles seriously or Shaq or those guys, you know, very seriously, because if you lose, you're going to hear it. But like, what is that going to do for the Bucks, man? Like, what is that going to do? I mean, they were so, I think it was a wonderful thing that they got Giannis locked up long term. And, you know, Middleton, as you mentioned, has played fairly well, different spots. But, like, I mean, have they kind of peaked? Have they reached the best that they could be if they lose this game tonight?
You know, I just don't see how they really improve the roster all that much. They have a $33 million cap hit for Middleton. Giannis is $27 million. He ascends over the next couple of years. Jrue Holiday, $25 million. Brooke Lopez, $12 million. And their cap opens up, I guess, a little bit more next year, but they're probably going to want to re-sign PJ Tucker. They're probably going to want to keep Dante DiVincenzo. Probably going to want to keep Pat Connaughton, and they're going to have to pick up options on those guys. So I if they lose this series, you know, you already know what's going to happen. They're firing Mike Budenholzer. That's because they can't really do anything else. I suppose they could trade Middleton, but then you're like, okay, well, who are they trading Middleton for? Obviously you'd want to trade him for a better player. Middleton would have, you know, a ton of trade value on the market, but he's got this huge contract. So you got to match it. I mean, maybe like a Middleton Bradley Beal swap or something like that. But I don't even know if that really solves the Bucks problem. Like I just feel like they kind of just have to run it back with what they have. But of course someone has to be blamed, and the person who's going to shoulder the blame for the organization will be Budenholzer.
Yeah, I mean, if you just can't fire the players, and it's the cliche that's used over and over again, but it is so true. Have you played any of, by the way, I should have probably asked you this weeks ago, have you been playing any of the FanDuel player markets on any of the, like, the player totals or anything like that? Because I'm guessing that when we get to the NBA Finals, we're going to be focusing a lot on that.
I have been. I went on the morning after with Ben and Ariel the other day, and we were talking about the Durant ones, and I was like, these are all too low, right? It was like 35 points, 9.5 rebounds, I think 6.5 assists or something like that. And I was like, well, yeah, you just want the over on all of those. This guy's not subbing out. There was FanDuel is doing some of these other cool props, like head-to-head matchups inside of the games, like more points Kevin Durant versus Giannis, more points Jrue Holiday versus Kyrie Irving, and things like that. So I've been hitting a ton of those, hit all of the Durant overs in that first game. And I would imagine that the Durant overs are going to be adjusted a little bit for this game tonight. But still probably not enough. You know what I mean? Like it's still not quite enough. Like Durant is -120 to be the highest scorer in this game, but I feel like the true odds for that are like -200. Like what scenario, where does the game play out where Durant doesn't score the most amount of points? Like, I guess he gets hurt or something.
Yeah, I mean, look, Middleton can put up a 35, you know, but that would mean that he has a horrible, horrible game. Yeah, I mean, it does seem like a plausible scenario. I mean, it is always tough, Davis, regardless of who the player is, to play against the field. That's kind of what you're doing. But you're right. It does seem like implied-wise, -140, -150 would be a little bit better, at least to set that juice up. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to move on from the NBA. We got a lot to cover here on the show. We got baseball coming up. In addition to that, the U.S. Open is underway right now, and fog seems to be the big story right now, what's going on at Torrey Pines in this early morning start, or at least it's going to be today. So we'll check in and see who's teeing off this morning, and we'll cover the U.S. Open for you throughout. Plus, coming up a little bit later in the show, more fantasy football discussion as we get you closer to the 2021 football season, so you'll make sure you want to stay on the grid for that as well. Also, we got Fantasy or Reality and the Sports Grid 60. As a programming reminder, George Kurtz will be in for me on tomorrow's show, but we will have Jim Sannis in the house talking NASCAR, getting you ready for the big NASCAR weekend, and covering the NBA playoff games, which look like a lot of these series are going down to 7 games, so that should be a lot of fun to discuss. But coming up next, afternoon baseball and evening baseball against the spread on the money line over on FanDuel. We break those down, give you some picks as well right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, David Maddock, we're back in just 2 minutes. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to NFC Sports Today on Sports Grid. It looks like the final 4 days before Major League Baseball implements the non-sticky stuff on Monday. Next week is going to be a very interesting week for us here on Sports Grid to dive into that. But, Davis, we do have afternoon baseball today. We've got DFS to discuss. And what we're seeing right now in the month of June, I would say, are, you know, some of the good teams are winning. And of course, the, you know, the Padres haven't played particularly well. And I understand that. But what we're seeing are the bad teams really starting to fall apart here, like Arizona, like Texas, Pittsburgh, like Baltimore. Like, they're really starting to streak out here in crazy ways. The Orioles today have lost 7 games in a row, Davis, going into this game in Cleveland. And by the way, Cleveland's pitcher today is Eli Morgan, who I think pitched once this year, but didn't look very good. His ERA is very high. I think it's like 20 or something insane. But Jorge Lopez, obviously not very good either. The total is 9. Cleveland is minus 150. Is this just simply, hey, ride the trend? Doesn't matter who the pitcher is on Cleveland. Baltimore's going to lose pretty much, right?
Yeah, it does sort of feel that way. You make an interesting point about bad teams in the middle of the season. You know, that's, I think, a factor of a couple things. The first thing is these are just not deep teams, right? Because they're bad. That is what being a bad team is. It means you don't have a bunch of good starting pitchers. It means you don't have good relievers. It means you don't have good players to begin with. So when, over the natural course of a season, guys get banged up, you have some turnover in your bullpen, you send some guys down, you call some guys up, you're starting to give guys rest days. Those replacement players on a bad team, like the Baltimore Orioles or the Arizona Diamondbacks, are going to be worse than a Dodgers replacement player or a Padres replacement player or, you know, a Braves replacement player or whoever it may be. So I think you and you could probably speak better to this than I would. I mean, how is someone on the Baltimore Orioles going out and doing their job every day when they know that it doesn't mean anything, right? Like, what? And it's funny because Ryan Mountcastle had a great game last night. I know because I played him on FanDuel. But I was just thinking, like, if you're Ryan Mountcastle, like, you know, it's like, we're not making the playoffs. We're not winning the division. This is basically an exhibition game for me. Like, what is it like for those guys' mindsets?
Yeah, well, I think what happens is that we as fans of sports, and let's just use baseball as an example, we get way too caught up in April, right? Like, that's exactly what happens at the beginning of the season. We're all excited to have baseball back. I'm excited to have baseball back. And then we dissect these things as if the month of April is going to tell us what's going to happen the rest of the season. And the reason why teams don't really fall apart in the month of April is because there's belief, as you just kind of alluded to. There's belief in Pittsburgh. There's belief in Baltimore. These teams in general, they go to spring training. Let's use the Pirates as an example. I don't know what their spring training record is, but let's say they were around 500 in spring training. Then they look at it like, wait, well, maybe there's a possibility that we're good. And then Davis, they come out after the first 4 games. Pirates are 2-2, feeling like that there's a chance. So morale goes down. There's that feeling of losing. I think you're seeing it a lot with Arizona. They've played so far beyond low expectations. It is amazing. So some of those things that you're saying in terms of depth is accurate, but a lot of it is mental, and that expectation that you're just going to lose starts to creep in. And this is why betting is so interesting, especially live betting, because if you have one of those teams, Davis, that's losing and it's 3-0 in the fifth or sixth or seventh, I mean, you could jump on FanDuel and just pound that against that team because they have admitted defeat, you know, like they just know they're not going to come back and win. So that's probably why I would believe in Cleveland today. I just don't have any faith, honestly, in the Orioles. I have faith in the way that they're headed, but look, they're going to get the number one or number two pick again in the draft. So I think we agree there, although I know nothing of Eli Morgan other than he pitched once this year. Now, a game that promises to be much more competitive tonight, Chicago Cubs and New York Mets. Cubs will play the Marlins this weekend in Chicago, so I guess they're in New York and then got to fly back. But it's basically the line is telling you is pick 'em, and I think the reason why is because of all the bullpen arms, Davis, that the Mets had to use yesterday. That no matter what Stroman does today, he's going to have to go deep into the game. It's usually what happens: the starter comes out, and then you know, Stroman gives up 4 or 5 runs. He's got to stay in. Kyle Hendricks, we kind of know who he is, ground ball pitcher. The total is 7. Neither team is shaking it up offensively. The Cubs in particular have gotten better pitching performances than expected, but the hitting outside of Wisdom has kind of gone the other way. So who do you like today in this coin flip?
Yeah, well, you know, I definitely don't like Kyle Hendricks. I am not a Kyle Hendricks guy. His expected ERA, 5.5. His actual ERA, 4.5. Striking out only 17% of the batters that he is facing. Your point is well taken about the Mets bullpen that, you know, if Stroman just woke up on the wrong side of the bed today and the fastball isn't fast and the changeup isn't changing and the slider isn't sliding, you know, he's just going to have to eat it. He's just going to have to sit there and get, he's going to have to take 5 innings, good, bad, indifferent. He's got to get through there. But I just think Kyle Hendricks is so bad. And by the way, I think this line is telling us that the market still respects him just a little bit, that the market thinks there is still, you know, a little bit of high end talent left in Kyle Hendricks, who has had some incredible seasons, right? Where he was way above league average, a 2.8 ERA last season, you know, multiple seasons of low threes ERAs, but I'm not a Kyle Hendricks guy. I want to be on the other side of this game.
All right, let's move on to an American League game tonight where basically it's probably the game of the night in baseball, honestly. White Sox, Houston Astros. You have two really good teams playing. Houston, in particular, has started to really come on, and they're pretty big favorites tonight with Jose Urquidy, who is a solid number two or number three starter. The total is 9. Dylan Cease, very tough to know what you're going to see from Dylan Cease on any given night, but the White Sox could club their way to a few runs tonight as well. In terms of what's going on with Houston, Davis, that has made them dangerous, it has been one guy, Jose Altuve. He has been as hot as any player in baseball in the month of June. He had another home run yesterday. His pace is back for about 30 home runs. So we really didn't see him perform very highly in the 60-gamer last year, but there is no question that something is clicking right for Altuve because he has been unstoppable in the month of June.
Yeah, he has been. He has been completely unstoppable. And by the way, you know, Jordan Alvarez, we are kind of waiting for him to get hot. He got hot at the end of the first month of the season. He's sitting here with a 370 weighted on base. We're also still kind of waiting for Carlos Correa to return to his best. I believe Alex Bregman got injured last night. I think he had a quad injury. So it remains to be seen if he is going to be in the lineup today. I think I like Dylan Cease a little bit more than you do. He is just the style of pitcher that I always love. You know, 12 Ks per 9, gets a lot of fly balls, does not generate a ton of ground balls, but still doesn't allow very many home runs. In fact, less than one home run per 9 innings. And he's even getting a little bit unlucky with batting average on balls in play. So, you know, his ERA indicators are kind of right in line with his actual performance this year. And I will, in a game like this where I like one offense more than the other, I do like Urquidy more than Cease. Like, I think Urquidy is better, but I think that I will be on the White Sox side. And I think the over is an interesting wager here as well, if you wanted to go that direction.
All right. One thing I do want to touch on here on the show, I don't know if you saw this, Davis, but it actually came down yesterday, but we talked pre-show. Zach Gallen is going to return tonight for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Not really sure what to expect from him either. This caught a lot of people by surprise that he is back. But Davis, Gallen yesterday was asked about the sticky stuff. And while we don't have time to play the clip for you here, he basically said that he's waiting for Rob Manfred to come out and talk about it, and then he'll talk about it more. But in the interim, he would like to make it known that there is somebody working for his office that instigated this when he was president of the Miami Marlins, when Zach Gallen was there. And Zach Gallen, of course, without saying his name, was alluding to former Marlins president Michael Hill, who is now working with the commissioner in terms of enforcing this. So what I would ask you, this is simple. Listen, Davis, right or wrong, you don't see this happen that often in sports where one player just completely throws another organization under the bus. Mike Hill responded last night basically by alluding to it was Scott Boras, you know, that kind of pushed him to do it because the Marlins and Scott Boras have not had a good relationship for many years. Scott Boras, of course, was Jose Fernandez's agent in the past as well. But there is some thought here, regardless, that Gallen probably used some bad form here, just basically unprovoked throwing his former boss under the bus.
Yeah, well, Zach Gallen has beef with the Marlins, right? Remember when they traded him, I forgot the name of the guy. They called up a different pitching prospect instead of him, and Zach Gallen tweeted LOL when it happened. And then a couple days later, he was traded. So there, you know, it seems like there is some bad blood. And, you know, I don't know. I think my worldview just kind of makes me always side with the player. Like, I'm just like, yeah, Zach Allen, you're probably right to do this. And if it's true, if what he's saying is true, then even more so, like even more so, we should be supporting Zach Allen, because the vibe I'm getting is that everyone in baseball was aware of all of this, you know, this whole wide nebulous of spin rates and foreign substances and everything. And it's just now being policed because, you know, it's being policed because it's making people uncomfortable. It's making the game less watchable or whatever. And I just, you know, I don't have any sympathy for your Manfreds and for your team presidents and things like that. Like, I'm pretty much always with the players.
Yeah, and I understand that. I personally don't think that this is true. I don't think that the president of a team is encouraging people to cheat. Now, whether or not at the lower levels of Zach Gallen's career, AAA with the Marlins, whether or not that was the beginning of showing how to use sticky things, yes, I think that of course is a possibility. But throwing Hill under the bus is just something that it surprised me quite a bit. Hill, by the way, has not been as favorable talking positively about Gallen when he traded him, Davis. Because they were very happy to get Jazz Chisholm back in return. And sometimes things you say privately about a player become public. Maybe this has something to do with it. DFS discussion will be on point next. Don't go away.
From the City of Angels to the Big Apple, shake it up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. We're going to go through our picks here in terms of daily fantasy sports. And it shouldn't shock anyone tonight that Shohei Ohtani is on the mound. And Davis, I think there's a lot of good options here. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask you to take us through here your choice of starting pitchers, and then I'll jump back in for first baseman, okay?
Okay, so starting pitcher tonight is, I think, pretty fascinating. So we only have 8 games, which I think always, you know, sort of makes it interesting. Like, okay, what choices are you going to make, especially if you're playing more than one lineup? And the most fascinating thing is that Brandon Woodruff is pitching in Colorado. So what do you do when guys are pitching in Colorado, right? Do you start them? And a lot of it is going to depend on your ownership projection. We don't have ownership projections live at Daily Roto quite yet this early in the morning, but we'll get there. I still do think that Brandon Woodruff at 10,800, if he is going to be low owned, is like kind of a pretty intriguing option. Ohtani, clearly the top option though, 11,000, gets this amazing matchup against Detroit. The Angels are finally winning games. So I think that, you know, I think that as long as the Angels are winning, or at least, you know, somewhat competing for the playoffs, they're going to keep the Ohtani pitching experiment up because they need him. They do not have viable pitching alternatives. Joe Musgrove, I think, is probably the best secondary option. I know he has struggled a little bit off and on this year, you know, hasn't been able to get the K rate going in some games, but has obviously been phenomenal in other games with the no hitter and everything. We talked about Stroman in the last segment. I'm huge on Stroman tonight, kind of for actually the reason that Craig was saying, where, look, man, he is locked in. If he's got his stuff going, they do not want to use the bullpen in this game. The fewer amount of bullpen pitchers they can use in this game, the better. So if Stroman's sitting there in the sixth inning, his fastball is sitting pretty, you know, he's only allowed 1 or 2 runs or whatever, I think they're just going to let him go. And then our cheaper guy today, Rich Hill against Seattle. You know you're only getting 5 innings out of Rich Hill, but Rich Hill has a 5-inning, 13-strikeout start. So it's like, you know, if the fastball is confusing these Mariners batters tonight, or not the fastball, if the curveball is confusing those Mariners hitters tonight, I mean, how many strikeouts can he get? It's like me playing MLB The Show. When I'm up against one of these guys and I just cannot see the ball, I could strike out every single at bat. And that's kind of what it is for Rich Hill. If that curveball is biting just right, guys can't catch up to it, and his strikeout potential is insane.
All right, let's go over to first base tonight. Great point there on Stroman. And I think that that comes down to watching games, Davis. If you did not pay any attention to the start last night for DeGrom, and you're trying to play DFS and you're thinking about Stroman, it's interesting that you think the other way on that, which is true. Because if he's going to go deep into the game with a shutout, guess what? He's going to win your money on FanDuel today too. So that's a good point. All right, let's go over to first base. Vlad Jr., 4,400. We got Vogelbach again here, 3,500. Paul Goldschmidt, 3,100, and then G-Man Choi for the Rays, 3,000. By the way, I just saw a note that Mike Ford, who had that great 2-month run for the Yankees 2 years ago, guess where he signed? Tampa Bay Rays. So get ready, Davis, to use him in fantasy too, because he's an unbelievable hitter against left-handed pitching.
Yeah, he is. So, yeah, I mean, Freddie Freeman and Vlad Guerrero Jr. are the clear top for us. Vogelbach is back in today because where are the Milwaukee Brewers playing, Craig? They're playing in Coors Field. Now, Germán Márquez is on the mound for the Colorado Rockies, so this isn't, Andrew Senzatella or Chichi Gonzalez, but still, it's Coors. Márquez is not, he's just a fine pitcher. He's not great or anything like that. Goldschmidt, decent matchup against Charlie Morton, who just has, like, Charlie Morton's been fine, but not to his highs that he was with the Tampa Bay Rays. And then, yeah, G-Man Choi, a guy I love to play in fantasy, never very highly owned. I find Rays stacks in general, because they play in that weird ballpark, never end up being that high owned. But, you know, the Rays have so many good hitters and they are so good at playing the platoon that I feel their run expectation is pretty decent. So I like G-Man Choi on this slate a good bit.
All right, second base, we've got DJ LeMahieu of the New York Yankees. Our friend Jonathan Villar is back for the Mets, 3,100. They're calling Villar one of the best signings in the offseason for any team. It's just shocking to me. I don't know what the Marlins missed with him. Luis Urias, 3,000. Brandon Lau is one interesting name for me, Davis, at 2,800, that I, to this point, have to say, as much as I watch, have been completely wrong on. I thought Lau was going to be a star playing every day in the infield for the Rays. And he I know he's been okay and he's hit a couple home runs, but ever since the postseason last year, he's been a disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's young. He's got time. He's got time left to figure it out. I'm not writing off, but I just mentioned I'm pretty high on the Rays. You know, I think they should be able to knock Dunn out of this game fairly early. LeMahieu, I mean, those, you know, it's just like every day our projections like him. I have no idea about this starter for the Toronto Blue Jays, Taylor Zeich, I believe his name is.
Yeah.
It could be an opener situation. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
bullpen guy. So it's like whatever. The VR question, funny, we were just talking about motivation for losing teams, but don't you think that's like VR's thing? Like if VR is on the Marlins and it doesn't matter, like, that dude's not getting into the batting cage. That guy is not showing up to practice early and leaving late. Like, isn't that like his whole deal? Like you're gonna put out what you get in, and if he's playing on a bad team, he's not gonna be putting out that much. And then Luis Urias should be leading off for the Milwaukee Brewers and Coors. I think he'll probably be the most popular second baseman play on this slate.
Yeah, with VR, by the way, what you're saying on all players, most players applies, but it does not to him. He's never showing up early or leaving late. It will not matter. He's going to show up. He's going to wake up. He's not going to watch any film, any video, and do any workout before the game, and he's going to hit 2 home runs. You know, like that. He is like the Manny Ramirez-style type player, but he plays completely reckless. He does not listen to the coaches. But in a situation where you give him 500 plate appearance and say, do your thing, he's going to be a great fantasy player and not a great reality player. But I learned a lot about him last year, and very honest too. Very honest guy. I mean, I thought he was very nice to me, but he just was hated by the Marlins. So they got rid of him, and who knows? Mets got more out of him than the Marlins can. What am I going to say? All right, third base, Joey Wendell of the Rays. Here's your stack, 3,200. Austin Riley, the Braves are taking some massive heat. You got to see these post games. 3,100. Ty France, your guy, 2,900. And then we're going back to 2014, and we're using Matt Carpenter today at $2,100 for the St. Louis Cardinals. I will say I watched his at-bats yesterday, Davis. He's hitting the ball relatively harder in June than he did in April and May. So you may be onto something there.
Yeah, well, you know, it just took a while for his old arthritic bones to get worked back up. But, I mean, honestly, the thought process of including Matt Carpenter in our rundown today, it's not particularly sophisticated. It's that the Cardinals have been giving him a good spot in the batting order when he's been playing. He batted fourth yesterday. He's been sixth a couple times. He's been fifth a couple times. So if Matt Carpenter is batting fourth, that's about as cheap as you are going to find this is as cheap as you're going to find a cleanup hitter in Major League Baseball. Even if he bats seventh, I think you can still play him with the platoon advantage against Charlie Morton, because we just need some cheap guys, because we want to use the Milwaukee Brewers in Coors Field against Herman Marquez. We like the Braves tonight. We like the Mets tonight. So there are some expensive bats for us to use. Of course, we like this Rays stack, so included Joey Wendell, Austin Riley, continues to get cleanup for the Braves, looking really strong. And then my guy, Ty France, platoon advantage against Rich Hill. You know, I mean, the Mariners suck, but Ty France can hit.
All right, let's go over and close it out here in the infield with Marcus Semien, 3,800. How about the Colorado Rockies, Davis? They swept the Padres, 3,500 Trevor Story tonight. Javi Baez got to make sure he's playing clearly at 3,000. And then Willy Adames, 2,600 tonight.
Yep, just more Brewers chat here. We have Willy Adames, who, you know, it's funny when he was traded, and I'm sure you saw this, Craig, a lot of people were passing around his home road splits, and basically just in his career, he never hit well at Tropicana when he was a member of the Tampa Bay Rays, so I think a lot of people felt that he would get a big boost from getting out of there. The Brewers have been giving him every day at bats, sometimes batting him in really high, you know, in premium lineup positions. Recently, they moved on to Urias ahead of there, but anytime you can get a guy this cheap in Coors with a little bit of pop, we like that. Javi Baez, I know we like Stroman, but Javi Baez at 3,000, we know this dude strikes out 40% of the time, but when he makes contact, he hits home runs, he steals bases, feels like an obvious buy spot. Trevor Story, 3,500, obvious buy spot. Now I know that Woodruff is going in Coors, and we don't really want to stack against Woodruff, but this is just too cheap for him. And then Marcus Semien, our dude, and pretty much every day Marcus Semien is in here as long as he keeps crushing.
Yep. All right, to the outfield we go. Christian Yelich, as you mentioned, with Coors, 4,300, although he has not heated up yet. Austin Meadows got a day off yesterday, so I assume he'll be back in the lineup tonight for Tampa Bay. Will Myers of the Padres, 3,200. Dominic Smith, 2,800. And as long as the Braves are rolling out Abraham Almonte, I guess at 2,600 you could give him a shot. They also have another outfielder who they've been playing as well, but we'll have to check, make sure that he's in the lineup tonight for the Braves.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it amazing that Abraham Almonte has been batting cleanup every once in a while for a team that has World Series aspirations? Like, it's like Billy McKinney batting cleanup for the Mets. It's like, how did we get from April to here with Abraham Almonte batting cleanup in June? Again, the Mets, I love them tonight. You know, Pete Alonso, Jonathan Villar, Dominic Smith. I love all these guys, and I think the Mets are a phenomenal stack against Kyle Hendricks, because guys, like, the field is not going to want to stack against Kyle Hendricks. They're not going to view him as a guy to attack. I definitely do view him as a guy to attack. Will Myers, just, you know, a platoon advantage for the Padres. I always like Will Myers when he has a platoon advantage. Always a little spot in my heart. Austin Meadows is having a really strong season. Have him on my NFBC main event team. It's been fun to track him. 15 home runs, 2 steals, only batting .233. But, I would like to think that he is getting a little bit unlucky on batting average and balls in play. We'll see that rebound a little bit. And then, Yelich, the best hitter on the best stack of the night.
Yeah. Well, there's day games, evening games. We're going to cover it all for you. Of course, Scott Farrell, 4 o'clock Eastern, in-game live tonight. We've got you covered on the big game between Brooklyn and Milwaukee, all the NHL action, baseball action as well, in-game live tonight, game time decisions. Make sure you tune into that. All right, coming up next, it's the part of the show where I'm quiet and Davis talks. It's 2 minutes and 50 seconds of our Euro Cup conversation. We'll find out what's going on now. I see Davis tweeting about some things, so I'll be educated. And then I am looking forward to this Father's Day. I got tomorrow off. I got Father's Day off on Sunday, a rare Sunday where I get to choose what I want to do. Well, guess what? Come 5 o'clock Eastern, I'll be watching the U.S. Open and watch the finale on Sunday, no doubt. But we also have our headlines with Chris coming up at the top of the hour. Our best ball fantasy football previews continue today as we focus on the Minnesota Vikings. And another programming note is coming around July 4th holiday. Davis and I are putting together a special show for you on radio and video as we welcome in the football season. Davis and I are going to go through the season win totals in 2021 of each and every NFL team, give you some leans, some picks, and some opinions. So get ready to catch that in 2 weeks right here on Sports Grid. We'll be back with more and an update at the U.S. Open, as well as the Euro Cup in soccer right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid as you stay on the grid, and we'll be back for you in 2 minutes. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Time for our Euro Cup daily update here on Sports Grid. And right now, Davis, I'm looking at a score that is not supposed to be, or at least what we talked about earlier in the week. I'm seeing Denmark leading Belgium 1-0 at some sort of break. So what is going on in this one?
Well, what happened is Denmark is clearly full of piss and vinegar, right? You know, their fallen comrade Christian Eriksen in the hospital, mm-hmm. a couple miles away. There was not a moment of silence, a moment of applause at the 10th minute. Christian mm-hmm. Eriksen wears number 10. The game stopped. It was an amazing, scene. Almost brought a tear to my cynical eyes. Yeah, Denmark looks great. Belgium looks like crap. And it's, you know, it's just kind of one of those things. Denmark has all of the emotion. This is what we love about sports, right? It's why we play the games. The best team doesn't always win. I do have this Belgium ticket, but honestly, if I lose it, you know, I've lost dumber bets for dumber reasons. And the U.S. Open also underway in California. They delayed mm-hmm. it by about 45 minutes. You know, this happens literally every single time they play Torrey Pines. The tournament schedulers are always surprised when it's foggy at Torrey Pines in the morning, so it's delayed about 45 minutes. Matthew Wolff and Tyrrell Hatton are both 2 under par, but the tournament is just getting underway. We only have about 2 waves off. We only have 42 guys out on the course right now. It is playing disgustingly tough, rough, super deep holes, super long. I think we are going to see some bad shots from some great golfers this week.
All right. I'll be looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to Chris here at the top of the hour. He's got the Sports Grid update. When we come back, we'll talk about the Eastern Conference finals. It looks like the Nets are 1 game away tonight. If they can get it done, cover that spread, and maybe hit you on the money line, they'll be headed there. Pat Corain is going to join us a little bit later in the show, and then we will talk about the Minnesota Vikings on the program today. We're getting closer to fantasy football season, folks, and we're going to be covering it for you every day, Davis and I, right here on Sports Grid. We're not there quite yet, but in 2 months from now, that'll be a big focus for us. So, thank you for watching this first hour. Our second hour of the show is next. Right after Chris's update, we'll be right back here on the grid.